responsibility will come to order, and because of a conflict of understanding, we're going to do the conflict of interest bill as a joint committee. Granton, do you want to walk us through this thing as it is? You got a copy?
For the House members, the Senate members last week and in their lunch meetings the week prior did a number of things. The major thing about the bill is that, as it's put together now, it would include the original 25-29 conflict of interest thrust. It would also pick up 25-30 on the lobbying if that bill also passes. It would pick up Senate Bill 806.
Well, excuse me, what do you mean by picking up?
Well, if that passes, the duties of...
Yeah, would be assigned to a fair practice.
Would be assigned to this commission.
Yeah.
Right. And the commission would also take care of the present contributions and expenditures report to the Secretary of State. So you create one commission which would have four major areas of interest. It'd be a 9-member commission, and it would receive and distribute the report on economic interest and the other report on state officials, at least as far as the conflict of interest is concerned. That would be the judiciary down through the DA, state legislators, heads of division, and as yet undetermined number of gubernatorial appointees. This is still has not been resolved with the Senate members. So that would be the thrust of the bill. Letter from Clay Myers to, actually from Jack Thompson to Dwayne Wolf from Wade to talk about how much it would cost to do what the bill sets out to do. Be on top there someplace. Okay. Section 1, the preamble.
Excuse me just a minute. Mm-hmm. Relative to the cost of this thing, mm-hmm. That's the cost of the commission. Cost of the commission. And that none of this is now being covered by any other cost?
That is correct.
This
would be all, yes and no. I talked to Jack Thompson, he said, this would be the new cost for all of these, which you get some trade-off on the T&E you're doing now. But not included is rent. So the rent, that figure would go up. So you probably end up with approximately the same, you probably have a trade-off when the rent is not included and the cost of the present T&E report.
Well, it will have to, but I guess that's where we'll send it when we send it to the House floor.
Chairman, from a fair practice commission, this was a suggestion I think Lance made a week or two ago, and one of the problems we're going to have with the lobbying bill, we're going to have with the exposure or conflict of interest bill, we're going to have, and Senator Meeker has a fair campaign practice bill, and the Lid bill, and the C&E, is if we don't have some agency in charge of administering it, it's going to flounder. And we have it scattered now all the way from legislative council to special commission to the Secretary of State, and the suggestion of putting them all together is a fair practice.
Good idea.
I think it's extraordinary, and I realize the cost is quite high, but when you look at the salary they recommended, plus it talked about a legal counsel, a special investigator, that's a pretty good commission staff right there to do the things we're talking about.
We can go over that after we do the bill. Yeah, let's just start in at the first, go right through it.
Okay, section one.
No, excuse me. The Senate has worked on this, and Jack, I feel that this is your responsibility a lot more than mine.
Okay. We're not complete on this. This was to get it in workable shape. These were things that we talked about, and we're a long way from being all in accord on everything, but we needed to get it changed so that it had the direction of leaving out the city and county people who can maybe pass their own provisions to do this because we would get so big we couldn't handle it.
and especially add all these other duties.
One of the problems of splitting into subcommittees is that you have to replow the same ground for the House people that you've already argued out.
That's so. All right. We have replowed this enough to take out so much of it that when we start all over again, it's still soft, and everybody will be breaking up the clods now in smaller pieces because we're not at all happy with everything, and we didn't finish everything. We just covered as much as we could in as quick a time as we could to try to get those ideas that everybody thought was important that ought to be here. Now the refining is the process that I'm sure we'll not be able to finish tonight.
Okay,
but we'll get started on it.
Everybody interrupt at will.
Yeah, this is a, there's nothing, I don't want to use the word sacred, but there is nothing yet that's stone pride of authorship, maybe that would be a better way, that anybody is not willing to change, or there's nothing here that we're not willing to bargain on for one point against another point.
Okay, I didn't mean to imply that this was a finished package, but instead what it is a finished bill of all the parts put together. Section 1, the Legislative Assembly declares that public office is a public trust, and the public disclosure of private interest is the best safeguard of the public trust.
I don't like to bitch about the first paragraph, but the original, the original thinking throws me, plus the fact that
you realize how much trouble to get that one paragraph in.
Sure, I have no objection to removing it. You can see why it's
but
clear.
To cut it down from a paragraph to one sentence.
Can three of you make up your mind?
Okay, go ahead.
Section 2. As used in this act, unless the context requires otherwise. 1. Agency means every officer, board, commission, department, institution, branch, or agency of state government. 2. Business means any corporation, partnership, proprietorship, firm, enterprise, franchise, association, organization, self-employed individual, and any legal entity. I might say agency was put in the motion of Senator Carson, but 2, 3, and the majority of the rest come from the original bill. 3. Business with which he is associated means any business of which the person or a member of this household is a director, officer, owner, or employee.
Question. Owner means stockholder, no matter how I use it.
We've tried to get away from the amount to decide what is a stockholder. To somebody, $1,000 might make you a major stockholder. To someone else, $50,000. Might say, well, I don't even own any interest in it, you know, not enough to even count. So we're trying to keep away from that.
The stockholder corporation which has an own stock in another corporation make you an owner of that second corporation?
We'll let you legal beagle figure that one out.
Mr. Chairman, George raised a good point. I think the way we've handled this will show that it's not a critical area. So I'd like to just put in abeyance so we come to it, keeping that in mind, that he has raised the question of stock ownership, which speaks directly to mutual funds and a variety of other things that you're talking about. I think we've handled it. If we haven't, in the operating section, then we'll have to redo it.
Candidate for public office is any person who has filed a declaration of candidacy or a petition to appear on the ballot for election as a public official, and any person who has accepted nomination for appointment to serve as a public official.
Anytime, just butt right in, as you are wont to do.
Well, if you take subject 3 in the definition, business with which you are associated, you take that definition and you apply it over to section 6, then I cannot serve in the legislature.
Section 6.
Either that
you're supposed to have that in mind.
Well, if it's true, though, you say business with which he is associated, and that applies to a member of his household,
Chairman,
this is a contact of employment.
Well,
other than a contact.
Which, we clearly had your case in mind. We were not trying to.
You think the personal contact exempts that?
Yeah, that's the intent, was not to get into the contract, but get into the. That's the difficulty with drawing it, frankly. Speak to really judiciary, executive, and legislative in one bill. And the intent fairly was if they're married and the husband is the attorney for a school district or
a variety of others.
Or a teacher who serves in the legislature, the intent is to keep us from selling paint
or
gravel.
Or that operating that it serves on a public board.
Yeah, well, the intent is not to, to exempt from the purview of the problem. Maybe say it the other way. We don't want them selling goods to the state. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. So, but, so that does affect if your friend, if your husband sold insurance. Then he couldn't sell insurance.
Which member of the Common Cause has been working on this bill? Is it you, Bill?
Or?
Well, come on up. You might as well get into some of these discussions. Are you satisfied?
May I ask another question?
Well,
what is
household? Nice.
Well, I assume that it would be tenants and others living at the home. So it would not be children. I don't know the answer to that.
On the question of someone with that kind of conflict of signature, we had two things that we did. One was that as in the definition of conflict of interest, the B and C under 6 would speak to that. The question of something that affects the same class and all members of that class equally. It's only when one particular person stands above the crowd, the bill or the action or the legislation is directed particularly at his pocketbook. If it affects him, hurts him, or helps him equally.
But I suppose my question being more directed, was there a particular reason why the word household was used as opposed to family?
No, it was in the original bill, and was not.
We used household, as I recall, in order to define it a little further than family, which could be spread out all the way. Whether you have my person who resides in the household.
It probably could be further defined if we wanted to add to conflict number 6, which says it does not mean, if we want to set that up for another elected official or in the regular line of business or something like that. I think we could set up an exemption there, couldn't we, by adding one for that? So I think what they're after is to keep the husband from being on the highway commission and the wife owning the sand and gravel. And that's what they're trying to avoid. But when you come, this has become once again this big problem. How do you define it down when the husband's the district attorney and you're the legislator? Or the school board attorney, or whatever you want to do, these sort of things. And it gets always to be a little bit nitty gritty here, you know.
Might have a school marshal to call and come back and think.
Yeah, let's do that and then come back to that point. See if we can't get a. Art, would you like to go on?
Okay.
Excuse me, I just go ahead.
Commission means a fair practice commission of the Secretary of State's office. 6. Conflict of interest means the conflict of substantial private pecuniary interest. of a public official with an official obligation or duty of the public official.
Does the statute have a legal meaning, Wally, or?
Well, we talked about it. The difficulty comes, you recall, in one area of the voter bill, had direct or indirect, pecuniary or interest. Substantial is a judgmental word. It's not a finite word, but it's clear decision on the part of the subcommittee to require that it be more than an incidental or de minimis interest that we all have as taxpayers going on a tax bill or citizens going on a kindergarten bill or something else.
You leave it to the court, really?
Yeah, we do, okay. Matter of fact. To the commission in the first instance and then all the court.
Questions?
Yes.
Is there any degree of conflict? Any conflict whatsoever, no matter how I I'm wondering what you mean by conflict.
Well, we've defined for the purpose of the bill, rather than leaving conflict of interest as being insignificant or whatever, we try to define it as talking about a substantial private pecuniary. What we're trying to the one who is making private or substantial financial gain as a result of a conflict of duties of his own interest with duties he's serving the state.
Well, then why the comma?
Well,
because that's the way that was the way it was in the bill in which we picked it out of.
Yeah, we took it out of the tribunal.
No, we took it out of Don Wilner's bill.
Oh,
he came back, he was talking with about his bill, which he introduced earlier, and in fact it had a comma there to be removed.
Well, it's a substantial interest and a private pecuniary interest.
Well, then I don't think that. It's two things or one?
Two.
Well, then I think it should be an or instead of a comma.
Or maybe an and. It's a comma. It's a comma bothered you.
All right.
It's private. Okay.
All right, let's put and in there then for the time being.
A, however, conflict of interest is not needed. A, an interest or membership in a particular business, industry, occupation, or other class required by law as a prerequisite to the holding by the person of the office or position. Aimed at all the boards and commissions which you have to be a member of that class or occupation sit on that board.
And what about optometry or?
Right.
Or the bar, being a lawyer, be on the bar.
B. However, conflict of interest does not mean B, the proposition or execution of a regulation, measure, decision, or other action which would affect all like businesses or members of the industry, occupation, or class. In the same degree, and which thereby affect the public official in his private capacity. The intent being that it's not a conflict of interest if you are a anything, whatever your business is, and you write legislation. If it doesn't affect you unusually, then it's not a conflict. C, the proposition or execution of a regulation, measure, decision, or other action which would affect to the same degree a class consisting of all inhabitants of the state, or a smaller class consisting of industries, occupations, or other groups, including one of which, or in which the person, or a member of his household, or business with which he is associated, is a member, or is engaged.
Now that might take care of you.
That would take care of me, I believe.
Where you would say your husband is an attorney for school boards, would you say? That this would include all attorneys for school boards.
Just keep in mind there are several aspects. One, series or prohibitions. Two, conflict of interest. Six, direct prohibition.
Yeah.
The complete conflict of interest.
The thing you have to keep in mind, I think, throughout all of this, is that I know that he's an attorney for the school board because I read about it in the paper. It's none of my business who he represents, and he doesn't tell me. You know, I have no way of knowing in a lot of instances necessarily represent some because I don't have the interest in some, but simply because I have no way of knowing. Because in many times, it would be a violation of his ethics, except what I read in the paper, which you would have to, and I think you have to be careful that, that you cover that sort of thing.
Mr. Chairman, I think the way the prohibition would work is the same way some of the other ethical opinions work, for instance. I think there is one that clamps down on members of a firm appearing before committees of which we serve. We have no way of knowing necessarily what the other gentleman in the office necessarily represents, but there's a standing concern they don't come to committees on which we sit. And I think the intent is not to trap anybody, and I agree with your definition. You've got to be careful not to trap.
One thing about it, Norm, if the open meetings bill passes, you'll know where he is more times.
Chairman, I don't understand B and C at all.
Both of those were picked up, in fact, all three, A, B, and C, were pretty much reworked from Don Wilner's bill, which he came with last week. The idea being that if in B, you were to be an administrator of a state agency and you were regulating an industry that you had interest in, if the regulations that you were promulgating or enforcing were to affect all of those industries, each member of that industry the same, there would not be a conflict of interest. In other words, almost anything that the state might regulate.
But take the Board of Forestry, which is made up of foresters.
Right. They were to decide on some on any rate or regulations or yields or cuts or whatever that affects everybody the same, and it's not a conflict of interest.
You're on the barber board.
Merely because the public official executes a regulation which is a pecuniary benefit to the entire industry, he's off the hook.
That's correct.
He's a member of that industry which is benefited.
That is correct.
Is that what it means?
Mm-hmm. I think that's what they're... Yep. Senator Wilner came in and brought with him a bill that's been dragging around the legislature for a long time. It's a very short conflict of interest bill. I commend it to your reading. He did touch very strongly on trying to get a, in my view, workable, excluding of those things that are obvious conflicts in our legislature, obvious conflict in demand, high participation of citizens on our board, and so on. The attempt here is on A, B, and C is to pull out the obvious conflict when a conflict sitting on the board of optometric examiners or whatever the case may be, pulling those decisions out and failing to come to conflict.
What about Tom voting on a meat inspection bill?
That would be an example of that. That affects all.
If all are affected, all retail meters is the same. Mm-hmm.
However, if he were, if there was a situation where a senator or a representative were in a situation where there was a particular bill which would influence his particular company, where he was, he owned
all meat packers in Washington County, you have to go to environment.
Yeah, I'll do that now.
Something that would really narrow down to him particularly or her particularly. As that that would directly affect his business, which is associated, and none other, only partial part of the industry, then that is a substantial private pecuniary interest.
What about an attorney that whose business primarily is in a labor field or unemployment compensation or this sort of thing? It does not affect all attorneys equally.
But it affects a certain or a smaller class. In C, it says, or a smaller class consisting of industries, occupation, or other groups, including one of which or in which the person is engaged. So that if it affects all labor attorneys, you can say, okay, this this regulation affected not only me as a labor attorney, but every other labor attorney practicing. I'm not sure how far you can carry it.
Yeah, we're going back to the judgmental area. I'm
right.
Not sure I agree with that. That's how it's going to be.
Well, all depends on where you're talking, which board he's, whether he's on a board or in the legislature too, aren't you?
You're
she was on the, we'll say the...
You're a male chauvinistic pig. I was thinking of the lady.
Okay, all right, let's think of the lady then. If she was on the industrial accident board, would she still be practicing?
Yeah, I think that would be very... first of all, I don't know that I would want to call plaintiff's attorney's working for a class conflict of I think we're at a disagree with Grant Frank. I don't know if that's the kind of class we want to get into.
If they were in the legislature, it, then you would be talking about affecting all lawyers of that type, and it'd be a different proposition. Are you satisfied?
No, I'm not completely sure.
All right, let's put a mark on this one then. This is B.
Maybe we ought to bring back Don Miller. He did a better job.
Yeah. C.
I think we already covered that.
Yeah. The, what was your question on that, Doug?
C. Same problem. I just don't think I understand all the possibilities.
Well, I think I know what the intent is.
Okay. 7. Legislative employee. Is any person employed by the Legislative Assembly or by any of its committees, and any person employed by the legislature from funds provided by the state?
It is not a conflict of interest for a legislative employee to work
for. We're in a different
Oh, we're in a different one now. We're out of those. They are.
Substantial change on that, Mr. Chairman. We included all employees. So a $600 floor for restricted areas.
Well, I'm not sure what you're trying to get at.
We'll come up to it.
You come
basically,
to the wine.
Once we have the definition, we have
to move
the two
separate aspects. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Closure.
Yeah, we're still on definition.
Hey, person means an individual, corporation, association, firm, partnership, committee, club, or other organization or group of persons. 9. Public official means the United States Senators and Representatives, the Governor, Secretary of State, State Treasurer, Attorney General, Superintendent of Public Instruction, Labor Commissioner, members of the Legislative Assembly, members of the State Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals and Tax Court, members of the Circuit and District Court, the District Attorney of each county, the members of State Boards and Commissions appointed by the Governor, departmental heads appointed by the Governor, employees of state regulatory agencies, and legislative employees.
Can I ask a question? Why are we including employees?
State employees, political employees, regulatory, because we have a disclosure statement coming up asking them to file a disclosure statement with the Fair Practices Commission. The testimony was that people particularly key staff jobs, the public has an interest in knowing what their interests may be equally as they do legislators because of the staff work done. And I see some sense in that. I wouldn't argue too much on whether a page less than file disclosure statement. But the minute you go on income, we have some that are making less than 600, I think they're not working full time.
Or you have income.
We did have.
It wasn't 600, and I suspect that's why it was originally put in on the floor. Just wiped out everybody in the legislature, $600. Didn't have the report. Just slowly. My theory was that they should. Because I think
all 30,000 state employees.
No, no, no.
Now you're drawing about, no, this is only those that are working for the legislature and those in certain employees of state regulatory agencies.
Agriculture, commerce. Well, this is the one thing that we have a little conflict over that we haven't really decided yet, is that we perhaps at this point should list the agencies that we think ought to be in here, because to have the cosmetology board or all of these hundreds of them, and there are several hundred of them, might make the task so burdensome that we wouldn't get anywhere.
When we get down to that point, I've got a list of the legislative council put up in writing. As Bill, I think it's 842 on executive appointments. It's hundreds and hundreds, and it's actually a wish list, which would probably be better to go down.
Stick around, Henny. It may get better. Okay, but there are so many hundreds. I think that we'll perhaps have to come up with a list and say which ones are here, so that we can eliminate a lot of junk that doesn't need to be there.
The ones we're primarily looking at are CUC, the oil, CC, some of those that are really in the light.
Well, the agriculture department is very much in the middle of all this consumer. Well, we would include them. They're one of the ones we're talking about, but we're getting at the barbers board and all of these, which can get to be so numerous and really aren't going to do anything but cause a lot of problems in the sense of trying to make a decision whether they use which kind of hair tonic they use. You know. Let's go.
State regulatory agency means any state agency that has authority to regulate any business, occupation, or profession carried on in this state, but does not include commodity commission. That could probably be eliminated by listing the agencies you want to be under 9. Section 3. No public official shall use his official position or office to obtain financial gain for himself other than his official salary and reimbursement of expenses, or for any member of his household, or for any business with which he or a member of his household is associated.
That mean you can't hire your son as a page?
We've got in the back, I'm not sure what your section is, 2021 or something, you have the clause section that says you can hire one, but only one member of your family as a legislative staff member. That's correct. That came out of the original bill. Or for any other person as defined in subsection 8 of section 2 of this act, person meaning the association.
What if two members of your family
in
the legislature?
Get one each,
Ed. You each get one, that's correct. That's section 3, 4, 5, 6, I believe, come from the original bill. There were different numbers, but they come from the original language. Section 4. No legislative employee shall accept assignment to or be employed by a legislative committee, the jurisdiction of which consists of matters in which he or a member of his household, or a business with which he or a member of his household is associated, which has a conflict of interest. That should read which rather than with. Section 5. Unless expressly provided otherwise by law, no one other than an elected public official shall serve as a public official having responsibility for regulation of any business with which he is associated. Section 6. No public official and no business with which a public official is associated shall enter into any contract other than a contract of employment for personal services with any state agency which is to be paid in whole or part out of public funds, unless the contract has been awarded through a process of public notice and competitive bidding.
Can you explain 5 again?
What it does, it says that unless the law says you have to be an optometrist, on the optometry board, or a barber, or a cosmetologist, you can't sit on that board and regulate the business you're associated with. So that a it exempts legislators, an elected public official can sit and vote on legislation that affects the system. But a person being appointed, unless the law says it has to be a member of that profession, he can't sit and regulate that that system.
No one shall, though, in position having responsibility for regulation of any business position. That would be as broad as the federal conflict rule that caused Ed Harmon to tour Waterman to resign from the DQ. Thanks, federal rule. If Harms as a lawyer represented the regular utility board and they come back and got a permit of some kind from the Department of Environmental Quality, then he couldn't be on the DEQ.
That's right.
And this is where I'm concerned about the stockholders in this thing at all.
Yep, George, I think you're right. That is a hole that's in there. I was thinking going back to section 2.3 and putting in something that the owner does not include share of stock in a corporation. Corporation, the aggregate amount of ownership is less than 10%. Getting away from mutual funds.
Yeah.
We've been trying to stay away from exceptions to exceptions to exceptions. But if owner, we've got it covered on disclosure, which your point is well taken. If owner includes stock in a mutual fund, and the mutual fund owns Chevrolet and State Buy Chevrolet cars. You may not even know it.
Where would you exclude that then, Wally? That was two or three.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. The owner does not include shares in stock, corporation aggregate amount of which is less than 10%. If you own, first, what we're trying to get at, if you own 25% of the shares in the corporation, that really is a business with which you're.
Let's go on through it and then come back and let's make a note.
Section 7, 1. On or before January 1, 1974, every public official shall file with commission a statement of his economic interest.
Well, I hope that's explained something further.
Well, we're not talking about a financial statement. We're just saying that you declare anything that you own stock in or anything you have property in.
Okay, is that a form on by which the commission supplies him?
Right, yeah. Right.
Did that be in there?
Yeah, it comes in under Section 8.
We're not asking for financial statements.
Two, within 15 days after the filing date of the statewide primary election, each candidate for any elected public office shall file with commission a statement of his economic interest. Three, within 10 days after the date of an appointment takes effect, all gubernatorial appointees, all legislative employees, and all employees of state regulatory agencies shall file statements of economic interest. Four, no compensation shall be paid to any person required to file a statement of economic interest who fails to do so, nor is he authorized to perform any of the duties of his office. Five, the name of any candidate for public office who fails to file a statement of economic interest shall not be placed on the ballot. Section 8. Any statement of economic interest filed under this Act shall be on a form prescribed by the Commission, and the person filing the statement shall supply the following information. A. The identity by name of all offices, directorships, and fiduciary relationships held by him or a member of his household. B. The legal description of all real estate in which he or a member of his household has or has had during the preceding year any interest, direct or indirect, including an option to buy.
On A,
Does that mean that if you're on the board of directors for the senior citizens of Scappoose,
yes, it would. It would include whether, even if it had no economic tie, if you weren't paid for it.
Yeah, I think, Mr. Chairman, that's my life university, but an example of no command or whatever, but a temporary exposure.
But you do have an interest in private colleges, that's what you're telling me.
Yes.
Okay.
C, the source by name of any income, whether or not taxable, received by him or a member of his household during the preceding year.
Two questions about that. If you really want to cover everything, and the word income broad enough to cover everything, the guy received money which he said wasn't different, it wasn't taxable. Second question, do you really mean it? If I had 800 clients and got money from all 800, do you want to list all 800? That's what it seems to say.
It also says if you hold municipal bonds from Bear Creek Hospital or whatever.
I believe that you're correct. The it would seem to me that there would be construed that it would be your law firm, but you're probably correct in saying that there, someone could read that easement the other way.
The
intention would be repaired.
The legal fees from basically Smith, but I see your point.
Can we put it in there some way?
Yeah, I think
say
income from your business or something like that.
I think, yeah, I don't think that. What if one of your clients presents to you a conflict of interest, though, Ed?
Well, the way that one of the early bill packages talked about when you got more than 5 years of income,
that might be a good way.
Well, every once in a while, I do something $3.50.
Yeah, but if you represent eWeb, and we're talking about public and private power.
Yes, that ought to be disclosed. It's hard to tell whether. The way I read this like the only thing I do is to go through my books and get that food.
Yeah, this
$5 and $3.
If you sell gas, you own your own station. Technically, under failing, you'd have to list everyone your gas sales during the preceding year by name.
Let's come back to that one. I think
yeah,
that's kind of a good point. Earl, come on, join us.
That's not the only thing.
D, the name of each creditor to whom he or a member of his household owes or has owed during the preceding year money in excess of $2,000 and the interest rate.
Now this, assuming the kids are left home and you don't know who they owe, then you're out of it.
That's right.
Yep,
with
all 800
credits. Keep right in the back.
If you've got them over $2,000, Steve, all right.
E, the name of each business with which he or a member of his household has been associated, as defined in subsection 3 of section 2 of this Act, during the preceding year. If any such business with which he or a member of his household is associated, does business with, or is regulated by any agency, he shall specify the nature of such business or regulation.
I'm a little concerned about the use of this word household, because you may have kids or three or four living at home, but you've got a brother who's vitally interested in highway contracts, and he doesn't live in the same house.
That's a client.
The client would probably, the Attorney General came to us with a member of household, and his definition read, member of his household means the spouse of a person and his parents-in-law, and children, to any of whom he or his spouse has 20% or more of living expenses, and every other person living in his household or living in the household of another member of his household who qualifies as his dependent for income tax purposes, or some variation of
that. Trouble with getting to a brother, and how far down the line do you go? It could be your cousin.
Second cousin.
Well, the godfather had a pretty big family. I don't know whether it's relevant or not.
Well, that's the point. Where do you cut it off?
If you live brother and your brother you haven't seen for 10 years, plumbing with him in Jersey, it'd be kind of difficult to rack him and have him to list all the...
That's right. But he may live across the street and he may be selling sand and gravel. Well, that's another one we'll come back to.
You might have a hard time finding out everything he's got. He might tell you to go to sleep.
Well, no, I think each family's a different situation. Some families may work on that basis.
If the person filing is an attorney, admits of all matters in which any public official or agency is a party, in which he or a member of a law firm with which he is associated, represented a client for a fee, stating the name of each such client.
Did we leave that one in about lawyers?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, that's a public record.
We substituted that for one listing each of the names of each of the client over $2,000.
See, George is right.
Would this include criminal defense?
I think we could do it.
Well, it would.
Yeah.
Stafford. John Doe.
Okay.
Of course. Or a fee, take most of them.
Yeah.
What about a divorce action?
No, that's not.
Okay.
You might use Linda to take out criminals. Civil. You drop
this
them
all. This is public record anyway.
Representing the school board.
No provision of this act is intended to prevent any person from filing more information or more detailed information than required. That comes from the original bill.
There is something like this in the original bill.
Section 9. Within 1 year after the initial filing of the statement of economic interest, each person required to file such a statement shall file a supplemental statement showing changes in the statement initially filed, if any. Thereafter, at such times as the commission by rule may require, additional supplemental statements shall be filed. Failure to file such statements as required shall be subject to the sanctions specified in subsection 4 of section 7 of this act, which is the no compensation and not allowed to exercise the powers of the office.
No compensation part, I think, I understand, although a judge
that on the way back.
You could stop the compensation, though, couldn't you?
Except on the judges.
Does our Constitution have the same as the federal Constitution about judges, about lowering their wages while in terms of office?
It's something close to it.
It does.
We've got there have been other statutes that attack that problem, and the judge didn't have any work done requiring the file certificate
that he's within 60 days. Suppose the judicial fitness
group could relieve a judge of his position because of this?
Not over this.
Okay, Grant, welcome back then.
Section 10. Where a conflict of interest develops, a public official shall do one of the following. One, if he is a member of the legislative assembly, he shall announce publicly prior to any vote on the issue the nature of the conflict of interest, and shall then either refrain from voting on the issue, or if the rules of the body to which he belongs authorize or require other action, he shall abide by the rules.
Well, that's in direct conflict with the Constitution, isn't it?
Well, they give him a choice, either or. Either refrain from voting, or if the rules of the body require other action, he shall abide by the rules. It could be done much better by saying, and shall abide by the rules of the House of which he is a member. Strike out that middle part so that you declare that you have a conflict of interest, and then you'll leave the individual member up to the rules of his house.
Yeah, I don't think we can not vote.
You can't make him vote, not vote.
You can by unanimous
consent. I don't think he must be.
That's what? Originally it was going to be a part of vote. And that's because of some committee concerns, we put it in this way, which I think came from the water bill.
Two.
How about I have a
session
then?
There would be no vote.
What was that again?
You mean when he's on a...
The session then, there would be no vote on the issue. We'll have a public announcement.
I'm not quite sure what you mean.
Well, discover a conflict as the session is ended, you know, legislative. Announce publicly a conflict.
What decision? Oh, there's no vote. What decisions are you making after the session's over?
Well, it doesn't say anything about whether that there has to be a decision.
Well, it says prior to any vote on the issue. Line 2 of subsection 1, section 10.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
If the session is ended, there would be no vote on the issue.
That's right. Then there would be no conflict.
It's a special session.
Or as a member.
Still have to announce publicly that a conflict has developed.
No, I don't believe so. If he were a member of an interim committee, or if he were in a special session and he had a vote and he had a conflict,
no.
Or if he is at the...
I think maybe if you have a conflict with a bill that surfaces and it surfaces for you in the Senate, never gets out of committee, I don't think it's required for you to stand up on the floor or anyone else to declare you have a conflict with a bill that considered
the
Senate waiver. Is that what you mean?
Well, it's my concern because it says where a conflict of interest develops, you shall be the one to call.
Prior to voting on the issue. You voting on the issue. Because that's the way I thought of it.
I would think. Do you do that before roll call, or after roll call, or during roll call?
Well, before you vote.
We call Fadley. Fadley says, I have a conflict of interest.
And he'd like to be excused from voting.
But he can't.
Well, he asked for unanimous consent. It's happened a couple times.
Well, but still, that's illegal. That's unconstitutional. He's got to vote. All he has to say under this is that I have a conflict of interest. I defended the guy in court who murdered...
John Paul Jones.
And then he goes ahead and votes no. Is that what this says? That reading clerk in the House is really going to have a fit when he goes down those names as fast as he does. Everybody's, whoa, Bill.
Well, I don't know about the House, but in the Senate, there have been many, many cases where you've been excused from voting, but it takes unanimous consent.
And you know, the problem is that nobody can enforce that portion of the Constitution that says votes will be by
what if we allowed him to vote present?
if you were carrying the bill and you knew he was an I, you might want him in the worst way, and you would not want him to get out of Bodie. That's up to him.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think this
bill needs
any different position we're in already.
Yeah.
Whatever problems there are, the problems in our constitution we run into for another 14 years.
There really are a number of people who feel that this is the way to handle it. I don't, it's not a very lawyer-like answer, but we've tried to have it done. It calls attention to the conflict and gives the guy an ethical way of avoiding.
I'm thinking a little bit about the confusion during the roll call.
Yeah.
Would it be practical to let him declare after the vote when they're explaining their vote?
Well, I suppose that's true. At the time that I've seen it done, the guy stands up just before the question is put, or before the roll call, and says it then at the beginning of the roll call before the roll call.
Mr. President, point of personal privilege.
Okay. What would happen if the vote came out 15-14 and you protested about the man, you knew he was going to vote aye, and the bill went down? Do you think that you as a sponsor of that bill would have a right afterward to go to court saying that because he didn't vote,
I
protested against his vote and yet he didn't vote?
That's why I say as a practical matter, there's no way of enforcing the Constitution with one individual.
Well, I've taken out that clause, and shall either refrain from voting on the issue. I've taken that clause out of mine. I don't think you can refrain from voting on the issue.
Yes, also, we have committee votes, so that we can say, too. And it's not an uncommon thing.
Okay, that's another one we'll worry about.
What Senator Garland said is there's a good deal of meaning that it might have put out in getting to the floor on a proposal. That means something.
Okay. For any other public official subject to this act, he shall notify his supervisor of the nature of the conflict and request that another person be directed to handle the matter that generated the conflict. If he has no supervisor, the public official shall assign writing to the commission for a ruling on his course of conduct. Section 11.
Did we cover
that? No, we didn't.
Okay, if he is a judge or district attorney, he shall announce publicly the nature of the conflict of interest and remove himself from the case. Section 11.
Is it necessary? If the judge chooses to remove himself from the case, why is it necessary for him to state the nature of the conflict?
Good point.
Why not?
It seems my reaction was, like Jack, it just seemed to be that he would normally do it, declare that he had a conflict of interest.
Yeah, but the nature of the conflict, they either don't state the nature, it says, I do have a conflict of interest.
Well, it seems to me, in a disclosure of this kind, it would be important to know the nature
Well, we've asked this nature of conflict to everybody else. Why not to judge, too? We ask this of the politician, of the public official. Why not to judge?
2-7, Norma.
1-10.
I heard you explain that my former law partner had his property interest in that building.
Well, look back, take a moment.
Well, are we primarily concerned on and the person who may have a conflict is removing himself. If he chooses to do that, what difference does it make if he states his conflict?
Well, for one reason, we don't want him to cop out.
The easiest way to cop out on a tax bill or something else is just get up and say, I have a conflict of interest. And you say, why? And I said, well, I'm not going to tell you. I just got a conflict. I just don't want to vote on this issue.
Well, I think whenever we settle that problem as far as legislators.
Well, we've asked him to state his conflict, but wouldn't you say the same thing about the judge? Maybe he's got a tough one. He really doesn't want to say it.
Well, let's not beat it to death. We'll come back and vote on it.
Section 11. The Fair Practices Commission is established in the Office of Secretary of State, consisting of 9 members appointed in the following manner. A. 2 each by the majority and minority parties in each house of the Legislative Assembly. B. 1 by the governor. 2. No public official is eligible to serve on the commission. No more than 5 members shall be members of the same political party. This was added by legislative council because by staggering the terms of office, and when you take that factor into consideration with a change in majority and minority parties in both houses, you could end up with 8 Republican or 8 Democratic members of the commission, which would not be bipartisan at all.
Well, first you said that legislators, you appoint 4 legislators, and then you say no public official.
No, shall be appointed by. Shall be appointed by, appointed in the following members, 2 each by the majority and minority party.
Oh, those are not legislators.
No. They appoint people,
okay.
Non-public officials. The term is of office is 4 years.
You've only got 5 people.
No, you've got...
4 of the legislative leaders.
4.
1 by the governor.
5.
Now, you've got 2 each by the majority, and 2 each of the minority.
You got 2 houses. You got 2
houses.
You
got 4 in each house and 1 by the governor.
Okay.
Vacancies shall be filled by the appointing authority for the unexpired term. 4. The commission shall elect a chairman and vice chairman for such terms and with such duties as the commission may require. 5. A quorum consists of 5 members. 6. Members shall be entitled to compensation and expenses as provided in ORS 292.495.
You're going to have staggered?
Right. That's in one of the last sections of the bill. It's determined by law. Section 12. 1. The commission shall appoint an executive director who shall serve the pleasure of the commission. He shall receive his salary fixed by law, or if not fixed, then fixed by the commission. 2. The executive director shall perform administrative duties fixed by the commission, but he shall not have regulatory power. Section 13. The commission shall, 1. Prescribe forms for statements required to be filed by this act, and to furnish such forms to persons required to file such statements.
Now, wait a minute. Does that mean they write to him or he sends them out?
I presume it's furnished on request.
And have available, maybe.
Have available. And to make available such mm-hmm. forms. To prepare and publish a manual setting forth recommended uniform methods of reporting for use by persons required to file statements required by this act. 3. Accept and file any information voluntarily supplied that exceeds the requirements of this act. 4. Develop a filing, coding, and cross-indexing system consonant with the purposes of this act. 5. Make the reports and statements filed with it available for public inspection and copying during regular office hours, and make copying facilities available at a charge not to exceed actual cost. 6. Prepare and publish such reports as may seem appropriate. 7. make investigations with respect to statements filed under provisions of this Act, and with respect to alleged failure to file any statement required under the provisions of this Act, and upon complaint by any individual with respect to alleged violations of any part of this Act. A. Report suspected violations of the law to the appropriate authority. 9. Issue upon request and publish advisory opinions on the requirements of this Act based on a real or hypothetical set of circumstances. 10.
What if we don't hire an attorney?
Statements for a period of 10 years from date of receipt.
Jesus Christ. Why is that? Why 10 instead of 7? 5?
10 years came from the original bill. It was discontinued.
That's an awful lot of time. Okay, we'll worry about that. Pardon? John?
11. Subject to ORS Chapter 183, adopt and public rules to carry out provisions of this Act. Section 14. Any person who intentionally violates any provision of this Act is guilty of a Class A misdemeanor. Originally, that section listed a number of other sections that if you violated, you were guilty of a Class A misdemeanor. As it came back, it just said any provision. You could enumerate the section.
But does that get involved with that judge we had earlier who didn't file the second time around?
Right.
It's the same as the other one.
Any provision of this Act was a rule promulgated by the Commission?
I like that better.
Yeah.
Harvey, we're already confused. We don't need any more.
Mr. Chairman, at that point, if you're going to include you on the first two, there's already been some concern expressed before the Senate when you get in the area of criminal law to give an agency a carte blanche right to make a rule and have a rule that makes a violation of which is a misdemeanor in Class A, and that already gets trouble before the Senate. Some bills going back,
yeah, that's something to worry about when we get to.
I'm certainly glad of that.
Section 15. The penalties and sanctions imposed by this Act are in addition to and not in lieu of any other penalty or sanction prescribed or authorized by law for the punishment of misfeasance or malfeasance in office, including removal from office.
Well, there we go back to judges again.
What it says is that doesn't, just because you're convicted of this, you still would be able to.
Well, but you can't remove the Secretary of State from his office or the Supreme Court judge from his office.
Well, under the rule.
Recall.
Yeah, you recall.
Can.
Right.
Yeah.
What it's saying is that it doesn't affect the recall.
Oh. Is that what it says?
That's what it says.
Oh, I'll be damned.
Are in addition to and not in lieu of any other penalty or sanction.
Okay.
Section 15. Oh, 16. Notwithstanding the terms of office specified in subsection 3 of section 11 of this Act.
That's this term. It says term, not terms.
oath, notwithstanding the term of office specified in subsection 3 of section 11 of this act. The members first appointed to the commission shall serve for terms of 4 years or less to be determined by lot. 1. One shall serve for a term ending June 30, 1974. 2. Two shall serve for terms ending June 30, 1975. 3. Two shall serve for terms ending June 30, 1976. And 4. Two shall serve for terms ending June 30, 1977. Section 17. If any provision of this act or the application thereof to any person or circumstances is held invalid, the validity of the remainder of such act and the application of such provisions to other persons and circumstances shall not be affected thereby. Section 18. You're absolutely correct. Okay. I have to get in there somewhere.
You were adding up the numbers in parentheses, Grant.
That would be 10. 8.7, okay. Section 18. No provision of this act is intended to prohibit any member of the Legislative Assembly from appointing one, but no more than one, member of the legislator's household to a staff position in the Legislative Assembly. Section 19. ORS 260.005 is amended to read. What this does is simply say that the contributions and expenditures report shall be filed with down in 3 paragraph, subsection 3 paragraph A, with the Fair Practices Commission and the Office of the Secretary of State.
Mr. Chairman, I think this is part of our program to present tonight, but I worry about the germaneness of the amendment. On 260.005, we have a bill, we have a number of bills, chapter 260, we'll be better with on that. But it's not money at the relating bond, relating conference convention. It might fit, it might not. I raise that issue whether we want to get into that or not.
In other words, they had a rider on at the end in the same manner as which the others have been done.
Well, what I'm thinking about is if we agree we want to go this direction of lobbying, conflict of interest, being this bill, and fair practice, I think we ought to attack each one of them. I worry about the last session, the Senate got a little fussy toward the end about germane of amendments made by committee. If they're not germane, they're not appropriate amendments. And the only issue I raise is although this is part of our program. The bill originally introduced, I don't have it in front of me, but I think referred to conflict of interest and not defined CNE report.
Oh, so we need another bill for that.
Yeah, we took it out. We've got a whole block of elections.
Oh, I have one sent over to you.
Okay.
Initially, but the question is always appropriate before the Senate. Well, we agree that way.
Pursuant to the advice of the legislative fiscal officer, the commission shall adopt a schedule of fees applicable to all the
required or authorized by law to be filed with the commission. All fees received by the commission shall be deposited with the state treasurer to the credit of the general fund.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask, that really sounds as hard off me. Because of the advice of legislative fiscal officer, the commission sets the schedule of fees. Is there no way we can find out what an approximation fair fee schedule would be?
Not to exceed.
Bill passes rather than delegated first to the fiscal office and then all the way back to the
I don't like that at all. What are we talking about anyway?
Well, the idea wasn't to reduce the cost of the commission.
We can show where you can support this commission.
Yeah,
that's why we might still get it through ways.
I don't think it's going to be a lot like the voter sample.
Yeah.
I don't think we're ever going to get it on a page to go away. I can't imagine 6,000 subject officials coming out with $93,000 a year.
Let's leave that one and put a fee schedule in.
Okay. Section 21. Any hearing conducted by the commission that has as its purpose inquiry into the conduct of any public official shall be conducted as a hearing in a contested case as provided in ORS Chapter 183.
What's that?
The ADA. Section 22, this is where we get to the riders with Senator Parson just to rather deal with otherwise.
Okay.
The intent of Section 22 and 23 was to tie in the Fair Practices Commission and the lobbying bill, but
move those
and catch them up where. So you would strike Sections 22 and Section 23.
What's Section 14?
That was that part. That comes under Section 23. Part of that one being...
It's an attempt to fit the whole thing together. Well, if the person goes through and sets up the procedures, then we put the rest of them on it. Yeah. The person goes through and the same then it looks like it might be to make the bill. If 25-30 goes through first, then we're going to have to come back and put in Section 23.
Section 24 of this act being necessary for immediate preservation of public peace, health, and safety. Emergency is declared to exist, and this act takes effect July 1, 1973. The idea of the emergency clause was that you set up the commission and give it the time between July 1 and January 1 to set up the rules, procedures, and et cetera, so for the first filing, rather than having the first filing and the commission all on the same day.
Okay, any comment by members of the committee on the general import of the bill? Or
Section 7 on page 4, product is out January 1, 1974, and doesn't our term run to first Tuesday or second Tuesday or something in January?
75.
Well, that's right.
What I'm trying to find out is everybody on the committee more or less satisfied with the thrust of the bill? Have we been harsh enough? Have we not been harsh enough?
Well, there's no definition of economic interest. There isn't a definition of conflict of interest. The word substantial pecuniary interest. That leaves a considerable area for judgment.
I think we all have that underlined. I'd rather not take it up paragraph by paragraph. I was just trying to get the feeling of the committee relative to the bill.
And it's in that area that I think the bill would be
is Common Cause satisfied with the import of the bill? You're not?
No.
Okay, what is your problem?
Well, we have two basic areas. One, that area of financial disclosure somehow to a some sort of category of inferred, so the public would have a handle on whether you have a $3 interest or a $3,000 interest. And the other, of course.
You're talking, too, about Section 6?
Right, that same area.
Of Section 2 or subsection?
Section 1 financial statement.
You're asking for some sort of a financial statement.
Right. Whether it be by categories or some sort of appropriate means in which you have at least an idea of their areas and their values and interests. Not necessarily a complete to the penny statement, but something to give you an idea of how much they have invested in that. The other was going back to our original bill in hopes that we could get something that would cover the areas of city and county government, which we feel are very important since there are mostly examples of conflicts of interest were found in those areas. And we now, the direction of this bill has excluded that area and has made no mention of exactly what would be done in that area in the future. I don't know if anything can handle them under this bill.
Not unless it was made an integral part of the bill. Nothing could be done about it in this bill. I'm not sure what the consensus of the Senate committee is, and I certainly don't know the consensus of the House committee on it.
You realize the problems that the state of Washington is having with this bill. It's setting on for us to be declared unconstitutional. And what was it, 3,500 officials threatening to resign all at one crack? We certainly don't want to get in that kind of a position, but we don't want to get so many people up in the air that the next time around there's a whole new crop of us up here because they're very hostile, and these are the public opinion makers. They decide the election, whether you are aware of it or not, but the local city people, it's a rare time that they don't decide whether a school bond goes through or who's going to be the next candidate up here, next person up here. There are those exceptions, you know, when you get something, a real hot issue, but just given the normal course of events, the opinion makers in any community decide who will or will who will not be here just by their subtle endorsement or their unendorsement, unless there's a real hot issue. I certainly feel that I don't want to make these people so hostile that if they get up in arms, we get a whole new group throwing out the whole works. I think that we ought to be, my own personal opinion, Don, I don't know whether I'm speaking for the group or not, but I think that we ought to go this far this time. If it works, if we can get the paraphernalia so that it will roll, then you can always extend it. But if you try to buy the whole thing at one crack, you can lose the whole thing at one crack, like they are in Washington. You might have that thing goes out, they might have a very hard time trying to get anything up there.
I more or less agree with your second reason, not your first one. Earl? You want to include county. Sam?
I was here to say about county, but I'd like to have a separate time. I'd like to add one more thing. I've said it before, but I'd like to say it again. I'd like to have some kind of buffer between the disclosure and the immediate public. File their statement, file their biography, so that they would know whether you had a non-tangible economic interest. And then with cause, anyone could look at it. But to have all that just open to the public to trample in, and the curiosity seekers, I think that's just...
You realize there's no financial thing in here.
But I'm offering that. I think just giving a financial statement and a biographical statement, which indicates those things that you're interested in that may not have a direct economic value, are important. Things you might lobby for without an economic interest. All kinds of things that people want, not directly related to money. Any man, I like the buffer in there, and I certainly would take half a step this time.
Vote on the inclusion of anything in the law of state.
Yeah, we only have that.
We
decided not to.
My understanding from the co-chairman is that the Senate already voted not to go below the state level. Since this is a House bill, I think the House should also vote on the same measure one way or the other.
For myself, I would like to see the county's technology included in it, but I don't know whether it's a true dissent or not.
My sentiment is to get them included, but probably not this time around. I think that's going to be much more complex than this. And in the remaining, how many weeks we got to go? Where's House leadership?
Four.
I don't know whether we get it or not.
15th or 17th.
Yeah, if we would. Okay. Any further discussion on whether to try to go below this? Do you have a bill ready for... Is it your first bill that you submitted?
The original bill did.
Right. Yeah, I know the original bill did. Okay.
Draft some sort of form... an abbreviated form, knowing the sensitivity of many of the local officials to, of course, disclosure of categories that are included in the present bill here, but I've heard many people suggest that most people in a smaller community know basically where that person, what his economic involvements are. So I would think that because of that, he would not be embarrassed or felt like he's disclosing something new if he lives his interest, and maybe at the city level we don't have to get into economic disclosures of value or even categories of value, but some sort of he's got interest in such and such, which he would file with the county clerk or the city attorney and make it available at that level as opposed to handling it through the state ethics or state fair practices commission.
Okay, I'm going to ask for a vote of the House members on this matter with the suggestion that if this committee has time to work on further amendments to the bill prior to adjournment, that we undertake that with the permission of the Senate Chairman and the House Speaker. Clerk, go call the roll. If you vote no, you're saying we're not going to try to include the counties and cities in this bill unless we have further time at the end of the session with the approval of the Speaker and the President of the Senate. If you vote yes, you're trying to get it into this bill. You would like to get it into this. You're trying to get it into this bill. No. Okay, do you want to go back to this thing? Probably. Going so far, I'm not for it. Let's go back and see what we can do towards making this a viable document that we can send to the floor of the House. My first note is on Section 2, Subsection 3. Molly, I think you had a problem with that. On page 1, Section 1, Subsection 3.
Chairman, George brought up
got two problems. We've got the problem of definition of this household and some questions, and last time I took a shot at it, which obviously means somebody lives in your house, your household. That may or may not be, but both the chairman and the college indicated vagueness in that, probably correct. The other one is the one that George brought up on the word older. First, that we didn't have to define any further. I think we do to exclude shared stock and corporation, and I just arbitrarily said the aggregate interest does not exceed 10%. Just to get the minimum interest.
Yeah, I think that should be.
That would cover the mutual fund.
Yeah.
Yeah. You own 25% interest in your specific account.
In our election bills, Ed. Haven't we defined
which one is that?
Family or something in our election bills relative to contributions and so forth?
Well, on three.
I frankly don't like household. I don't think it's strong enough. And in some ways it may be too strong. But I bring up again the guy's brother lives across the street who owns the cement works. Why did the Senate group throw out immediate family or whatever, or did you?
No,
we didn't.
Yeah,
how old? Do you think it's strong enough, or do you think it really covers what you're trying to get to?
No, I think it could be a definition of immediate family or something to include the case of your brother across the street.
Okay, let's do that, Grant.
Definition of household, or definition of family?
Yeah, let's take out household and substitute there for members of his immediate family is whatever.
What's that?
Which page are you on again?
Still sub 3.
Very difficult, Chairman. And I have no objection in the direction of the legislature in the court providing what relatives means, what family means. Immediate family increases the intensity of what family means, but that doesn't mean that family has somewhat different only a definition. I'm not
familiar
with you.
No, I know. Do you have a better suggestion?
Well, is one approach.
How about family household?
Well, I think what we're then doing is taking two vague words, two vague phrases or words, and adding together.
What is a separate definition of household? Instead of trying to amend it in part of another definition in 3, be to add it as a new
That's what
how are you actually going to cover all of them? You really can't get all of them. It's a real intense, the only one that you is the one that you have control of, which is your immediate family.
Yeah, they just been,
I don't know. The other way would be the enumeration
of household is going to be a little tax.
Did you guys hear George's question? Yes.
The head of household category in general revenue.
So
definition of household
is
I'm looking at that.
I have
found it in that whole stack. Straight line, general line.
Okay, we're going to, you've got a note on this.
Some definition of household.
Yeah, and you've got the 10% ownership.
I've got the 10%. The question of household is
Okay, let's try to get some help from legislative council on it.
You do have one that the AG came up with. He enumerated, he came with an alternative measure. He simply enumerated the persons that it included.
Okay, what do you say?
A member of his household means the spouse of a person, parents-in-law, and children to any of whom he or his spouse or both contribute 20% or more of living expenses. And every other person living in his household or living in the household of another member of his household who qualifies as his dependent for income tax purposes. So that if you have some other relative that lives in your son's house and you deduct them and have them as deductions because you pay their expenses, then they're also a part of your household.
That only helps me to a degree.
Great. I know. It seems to be that this would be to avoid the vagueness, would be to enumerate the members of household that you mean.
Representative Paulus, how did you get to page 6 when everybody else is on page 1?
Well, I've got a leak again, and that's something that's bothering me. You said interrupt.
Okay. You remember the complaint, George?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We'll mark that too, then.
Before we get away from
counsel,
it's important that we identify the members of the church today. In other words, some of this goes back a year prior, and shouldn't it be the member of the household on the date of filing?
Yeah, I think so.
Come back and pick up the son of last in the middle of last year.
And since they file a subsequent report in 1 year.
Yeah, suddenly there's anything about the
right.
Report anyway.
Good. Well, that's three things on that one paragraph.
Okay, do you want me to take it to the legislative council and ask them to give us something to enumerate or better define household?
Maybe we should give them some guidance. I don't know how far do you want to go on the conflict? Parents in law, children, I don't know about that.
Only if they're, in fact, a member of the household living in the home, and you provide them with another
one. There is?
Well, just providing the home is probably 20%.
I think I'm more concerned about relatives than I am members of the household. But
what control do you have over your relatives?
I don't have any. I don't even speak to my brother.
I had a brother-in-law that was an attorney for the...
You made it the trustees of a family trust. That household.
Put that down as an idea.
It would be the beneficial, I think, to call it to have a beneficial interest.
Under fiduciary relationship, if you as a lawyer hold money in a trust account, that's a fiduciary relationship.
So the definition called related taxpayer. But it doesn't really go to family. It covers the related taxpayer definition and covers what Sam's talking about. It also goes further. But you'll have to look at the Federal Revenue Code to get the definition of extended. Requires it to be somebody living there.
We've got one more thing. I'm the president of a foundation. Now you're going to get those.
But later on, in a different place in the bill, you're going to say you're president of that foundation. But the answer, such as it is, there's a provision for listing directorships and so forth.
But it holds stock interest.
But what, Sam?
It holds stock in maybe 25 different issues.
Well, we're going to take care of that with a 10% ownership or something like that. No?
Well, I don't own any of it. It's a public corporation. But I'm acting.
Well, then...
In that case, you'll say you manage that public corporation and be up to somebody else to try to figure out whether that had anything to do with...
When you file your statement, you just put that down among all your directorships.
Well,
somebody else has to figure out what that has anything to do with how you vote on timber tax and use of the mountains.
Or ambulance service. Or
pollution control device tax credit.
Oh, right.
Yeah, right.
Norman?
I don't find that all these definitions are created for different purposes.
That's what they're after, is where you might have a conflict.
Well, but she
but
doesn't even
I'm
know. I know that,
no
but
way
they.
That I would have of knowing it, legally or ethically.
But then that would only be whether you knew it. Most people wouldn't believe that you didn't know what your husband was doing.
Or vice versa.
Or vice versa.
But how am I going to comply with the law?
You'd have to ask him.
Well, I'm trying to tell you, though,
Jack. I understand what you're talking. I understand what you're talking.
But that's the whole purpose of this, is to find out where people do have, I mean, that's the purpose of this act, is to find out where you might have some conflict of interest, whether it be from your family or from you.
I
your
think
wife,
anybody married to an attorney who's in the legislature or any of these other things would have the same problem.
Oh, there are lots of other professions, too. Mary Lee, for instance.
Common cause have
see,
an answer to that.
I can see it in the sense if I'm a member of that firm, or are you want to know the income that I get that I live off of, and I can understand that and I agree with that, but there isn't any way that I can comply with A of Section 8 in all areas. It's just simply impossible.
You guys have any answer to that?
Well, under Section 8, you wouldn't have to report if, say, if your husband or your wife, your spouse is an attorney, you're going to have to just report the fact that he is affiliated with such and such a legal firm. You don't have to, under this, you don't have to report all clients.
But you say fiduciary relationship held by him or a member of the council. Fiduciary relationship, you don't define what it says, and a fiduciary relationship to me would be a trust account. And every lawyer that knows what he's doing has a trust account, because when he takes in money day and day to pay out filing fees, that goes into the trust account, doesn't go into his. That's a fiduciary relationship. There isn't any way in the world I can comply with that. First of all, because it would be a violation of the husband's professional ethics to divulge it to me. And even if it worked, I couldn't, because it might change 60 times in one day.
Which
you should come up with a definition of fiduciary relationship.
Well, we can never agree with that. I don't feel qualified to answer that. I'm not even aware of that.
Well, that's what she says it is, that would be the hearing.
That's where your husband comes on, how you pay that.
Then you could also have to say what it would be in Section 6, because the simple fact that you're married or a member of council doesn't mean that you can control the other people's actions.
Well, I suppose if you didn't have any knowledge of them, then you would not be intentional violating the act.
No, but how do you prove that?
If it's in excess of $2,000, the burden of proof would be on you.
That's one of the. How is the general public going to believe that she doesn't know what her husband, who their clients are?
I would find it difficult. Well, not the clients, but if you owe her whole money in excess of $2,000, your husband I probably would have to rely on that.
What if my aged mother says she isn't in town?
Well, then I guess you attempted to comply with the law. You have to leave it up with your ethics committee. We can put it up several penalty on something that he has no control over.
This I may intentionally violate it because I can't do it.
Disclose the time that your mother.
You won't refuse to tell me. Well, that is what the law says. Now, if you want to say that, that's another thing. Why don't you make the mother disclose it? You see, because there's no way that I can force you to disclose it, or George, or Wally, or anybody else, if the other guy has to force you. And you're putting a criminal sanction on something that you have no control.
Got a good point on there.
Well, yeah, you are too.
That's kind of the point where more detail in trying to determine what the substantial enough is that you have to report it. Changing this to a requirement of reporting more meaningful detail in financial disclosure that you might solve these problems and get the general nature of that kind of statement. 25-29, how did that go about? Is that from 25-29?
I think Norma's got some good points on that, and I wish you would have your attorneys concern themselves in this area and present her concerns.
Well, one way out of it is trying to ask them to, the easiest choice, of course, is to remove the fiduciary relationship, strike it. But the criminal law says 165 or 75 is one place the fiduciary is identified. Seems to pick up not the fiduciary account the lawyer might hold or an escrow agent or somebody else, all of which the whole fund belongs to somebody else's fiduciary relationship. We might ask them, are you talking about trustees, executors, administrators, or in other words, I'd operate on the idea we're going to take that out because I think it's a kind of fatal thing in there. But maybe we can put back in some specific language of some particular area that we're picking back up. But the fiduciary relationship didn't bother me once. I was thinking of the individual. It wouldn't bother me, for instance, to say, turn the trust account number such and such. That solves my problem. Norman's problem is once we move to pick up the family member or her husband. And that's none of her business, what her husband started practicing. Truly. And oddly enough, I think most lawyers make that a practice, so why doesn't know what the legal business is. So that's no problem.
But you could get the same thing from Lee Johnson. I don't tell my wife what stocks we have, or vice versa.
Well, I understand that.
And that happens probably more
regularly. Yeah, that very well may be, Chairman. Concern is the lawyer is not agreed to the ethical opinion of our can't believe to do anything. Our responsibility is to keep our mouth shut and not talk. The prohibition from going on and saying, wow, you should have heard what we are saying.
What was it, Wally?
I'll tell you. So that's a real problem. And I don't think it's unique to lawyers. Lawyers' examples are bad examples. I'm not unmindful of what you're saying. So I think we remove the alternative, of course, to take out some of the household. Talk only about the candidates.
Yeah.
But that opens itself to the obvious loophole, and you just shift everything over to your wife, and then you go marrying a woman. And I think that our alternative is untenable. So I think we're stuck with the idea of trying to sharpen our relationship. And as we asked here, with the butter worms of this open, are we better off to take it out? Or use substitute language to sharpen it so that we're not elder scale or stepping on feet. And I think if we take that look at it, frankly, that's basically what the rewrite between the first common cause bill and the second common cause bill is to kind of organize the bill and speak to the police and the speak to the director of the effort to find others.
Does financial relationship change it any? Is a trust account then really one of your financial relationships?
Well,
it's not yours.
I don't know what a financial relationship is. I suppose that's when I owe money to somebody to deal with me.
I own part of his business, or I accept money from salary.
I think the way to do it is to take it out.
Are you talking about sub 3 now?
No, I'm talking about
On page 5, 8A.
1A, second line. I'm not making that motion because we already asked Landon and Bill to take a look at it and see if they can find specific language. But really finding specific language that would be introduced to the relationship.
Okay. You've got a note on that, Mr. Blaine?
Yes.
Okay, and you have too? Okay. What we've decided, three things we're going to do with three. Now we get down to the guts
before
of the bill.
Before you do that,
okay,
just get back to that. Some way you have to imply then economic relationship or economic holdings held by his household. Because that's what you'd have to have to keep it from transferring anything to his wife.
Well, we picked that up, I think, because we required the household report on the economic interest. So even if he transferred everything to his wife under on page 5,
then you don't need this at all. And you're right. Okay. All right, go ahead now.
Okay, on Section 2, page 2. There's been a considerable amount of discussion relative to, is this strong enough or is it not strong enough, and actually what does substantial mean, and there has been some suggestions that we put figures in there. What's the will of the committee? Does significant have a meaning in law?
Well, it's substantial. And it would mean less. It would require less of them to be significant than it would be substantial.
Mr. Chairman, going to be relative to something else. What's substantial and significant to one person might, or to one group might not be to another group. I'm thinking back, Jack, to your mention about the chair of the warehouse, that might be a lot to somebody. It might not be anything to somebody else. So again, you've got that.
I think you'll have that problem with anything you do
Well, Webster says, number one, having meaning. Two, suggesting or containing a disguised or special meaning. Three, important, weighty. Substantial, consisting or of or relating to substance, real, true, important, essential.
Both of them said important, yeah. But significant doesn't require to be essential.
I think significant may be an improvement. We also changed that to, well, let's find out what the House members. Are you chatting? Do you want to vote on whether or not you want a monetary figure or something like that in here, or a list of accounts?
I could possibly put a figure in.
And a figure here.
You're talking about
did the Senate vote on this?
No, we haven't. We're just going through it just like you were. We were trying to get to, this is our first time around change.
Okay, you three over there. Does any...
Mr. Chairman, if I might suggest that I think that...
They're having a caucus. Now, if you want to talk to me...
Well, okay, I want to talk to you. I would suggest that rather than go through another Senate Bill 15, that we get consensus on both sides.
Okay, good idea.
We're not going to have time.
Good idea.
This is a joint committee, and that's the purpose of it, is to get a bill out once and come back.
Good idea. To an agreement?
Yes, your substance agrees on substantial.
Rather than significant?
Yeah.
Whoops.
What's the Senate? Let's not worry about House or Senate. Let's find out what you think.
No, I didn't tell them that. I told substantial meant greater than more than different. Oh, yeah. I think it's. Yes, I think that should be the same. If it's important, it's not going to flow. I don't think it's a matter of great concern. I like it to be enough that
I think we're arguing on semantics. It doesn't make any difference, really. But what I am concerned about is there any consensus on the committee relative to putting any sort of monetary figure in here, or percentages, or anything like this? Is Common Cause more or less satisfied with this paragraph from that point of view? Okay. All right, let's do it this way, though. Now, all those in favor of significant, hold up your hand. Substantial, hold. Substantial, whoops, I voted twice. Substantial wins.
Substantial it is.
As is. And now that reads substantial and by the pecuniary interest, the way we changed it. Now, does everybody agree to that? All right, now are there any other problems with that paragraph? Anybody else have any problem any place with that paragraph? Okay, now we're... Now we're down to B then. This is the one you didn't understand, George. Are you satisfied now?
No. You might explain to me.
First word looks like the opposition of a regulation.
The act of opposing it, or a regulation measure, decision, or other action. That
doesn't help you with that. Yeah, I think that's what it means. Come on, Ed, are you with us?
I'm here.
Huh?
I'm here. I don't know the mixture.
I think I got D figured out. D's still involved. I think as long as it affects everybody in the industry the same, then you're all right.
Right. So
you can
all get a rip-off.
Yeah. Everybody gets a rip-off. Like the Watergate 500. Everybody gets a shot. Okay, C, George. That means if we all get the same beating on the tax measure or... all of us get equal woman's rights. Is this what this means? Is this what this means?
If you give attorneys fees on something, all attorneys have the same chance.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what it means. It's just like B, only it relates to a segment of society rather than to a industry or occupation.
For that matter, you could probably take B and C and boil it down to one paragraph, which would say exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It would say that you could start with all inhabitants of the state or smaller class, specific industries, occupation, or other group, or class in the same degree. Rework it so that B and C became B.
I think
or
that was.
Or doesn't make any mention of household.
Well, you
or
yeah,
business.
Pick that up.
Pick that up.
Yeah, put that into the one B. You just say B and C and put it into B. So that it would be a private official, a member of his household, business which he's engaged or associated with, and then make it the proposal of a regulation or execution of a measure or a decision or other action which would affect and then enumerate.
I think if you tried to combine them into one paragraph, you'd probably get something more confusing than you've got now, because you're talking about households and businesses in one area and or at least households in one area and not in the other. Yeah. I don't. Oh, do you understand what it's talking about, George? Are you blissfully happy? Are you happy at all? But you're content. Okay. You'll let it go. Ask legislative council if they can improve the language. Section 5. I didn't have anything but tricks, so.
What we're going to talk about is what state regulatory agencies would mean.
What paragraph is that?
That's the
second paragraph. Oh, yeah.
In subsection 9, in the
much less council says they made a mistake putting United States senators and representatives in at that point, because you can't, in fact, make them subject to all the provisions of the Act. They should go back and say that all public officials and United States senators and representatives shall file. That's the only thing you can do as a requirement for their putting their name on the ballot. After that, you can't affect their power to hold their office or affect their compensation or et cetera, et cetera, and so forth. They really can't fit in the definition of public official there. It's stuck there and added later.
What about judges, George? Can we do it with judges anyway?
Well, I think you can do it with any of them. It doesn't matter whether you enforce it. I don't think you can enforce it.
Well, that's what I like, is laws that we can't enforce. I think that's what we get.
The Constitution,
well,
doesn't
judge can't make a decision. That's what we stand for.
That's a conflict of interest setting on the trial for themselves. Maybe we'll have to pass it so that the legislature sets on trial for the judge, or it is the prosecutor, judge, and jury.
We could require them to do these things prior to their election, can't we? But maybe you can't do anything about them subsequently.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you can't file.
If you don't do it, how are you going to keep them off the ballot?
That's what it says. You don't file it. Just like if you don't file a C&E report, you don't take office. That's what it says right now. You're not given a certificate of election until such time as you file. So you'd have the same thing here. If you don't file this, you don't get any certificate of office, you couldn't take off.
Yeah, let's fix that up about the federal offices.
You might be able to come by prior election.
Yeah, but I don't think you can do anything afterwards. Although I wouldn't want to be an elected
we
official
said that
violated
that. We have placed it so it must be filed with your C&E report. So until they file it, there's no certificate of election.
Let's fix that up the way legislative council says it should. And I think we do have some teeth there prior to their election. And maybe the press can help us out subsequent to their election.
Okay, so that in fact you would say for the constitutionally defined officers, you want it beforehand, but then you'd exempt them out afterwards? In other words,
leave them in, but I'm not sure that our penalties are any good. That's what I'm saying.
So we just want to stand as is.
Yeah, but you want to change
the
United States Senate.
All right. Now, also in sub 9, you've got the members of state boards and commissions appointed by the governor, and then employees of state regulatory agencies as part of public official. This was left in for no other reason than to make the sentence complete and utterly blank. And there's been a lot of question about what is a state regulatory agency and.
Or heads of major agencies, or?
Well, we picked up all the departmental heads and the state board commission, so we picked up, for instance, one area here that's the hearing officers for what's going on. We talked about this one time. I raised the question whether that would be what we want to get into. Some members of our state pointed out specifically that out of the area, because some of these areas, one of the major workman comp under, I'm keeping the language right, but the one that's self-employed or self-insured employer, direct insured employer, whatever it is. Is a major lumber company, and the fellow left that lumber company is now making decisions. And when he finds the workman, that finding is directly against the lumber company. I think it would be important in that instance to have the disclosure on public hearing officers.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's good. Put public hearing officers in there, but should we not have a period after governor?
Well,
legislative employees, as you say, goes down to pages.
Yeah, we can fix that.
There might be a place for monetary
Well, here's the problem, Mr. Chairman. One time I tried with having two separate bills, one dealing with disclosure, one dealing with admonitions or penalties. The disclosure went down one lane, and the penalties went down another. I think the page should not use his official position to gain financial benefit to himself. If that could be done, I don't know if it could, but I think it clearly could be done by a consultant to a tax committee, by an administrative assistant to the local government committee or somebody else. I don't know whether we want to disclose, but I certainly think the admonition to use his official position to obtain financial gain for himself other than his salary is an important ingredient in this bill. And I think that, to me, went all the way down the page. I want pages or dark pieces.
Probably wouldn't hurt.
So, but see, I'm caught in the dilemma that once we define public official, we say we prescribe certain things he can't do, and then we can have him add a disclosure. And that's where we run into trouble. And for instance, this doesn't bother me at all. I say that no file clerk 2 of the PUC should use that position to gain financial reward. That doesn't bother me at all. Then you turn around and require him to come in and disclose and file financial statements, keep it up every year, and whatever,
there's
and
the rest of
the stuff. Don't think it's getting what we
want. Do you have a suggestion?
Well, I did, so I was dividing it into two groups. But that, frankly, became a longer bill, more cumbersome than the one we were. So.
Yes.
The approach that they take at the present time to the Public Utilities Commission is that any employee of the ACC who has a pecuniary interest shall declare it, and so forth and so on. So they have to have, if they're an employee of a regulatory agency and have a pecuniary interest in a business or industry which is regulated, then they have to make a declaration. And this works out very well at PUC. For instance, if a girl, I know of one case, a girl was a secretary or a file clerk, very low position. Her husband worked in a telephone company. She had to make a declaration, and then they shifted her out of the telephone department of PUC over to trucks or something like that, so you know the conflict of interest. Actually, her husband was only something like a lineman, but they are pretty clean, you know, and make a real effort to comply with the law. But that's the language, the approach they take. Instead of saying that all employees of regulatory agency are public employees and all have to declare the complicated statement of economic interest, leave them out there, but you have another section that any employee of a regulatory agency shall file a statement of any pecuniary interest they have in a regulated industry.
Picking up on that, Mr. Chairman, I think we need to be aware that it didn't occur to me before. We define legislative employee. We can clearly take the legislative employee then out of public official. We've already got legislative employee defined in 7, so that can come out. I suggest basically one of the common cause bills I think did talk about a regulatory employee, so we call it a state employee of a regulatory agency, a new definition. So when we come down to, we could say no public official. Of course, I don't know.
Tom, is that a department regulation?
No, well, it's by statute.
It is by statute. That's one clause we need in here, too.
It's in ORS.
It's in the PUC thing all about that they have to divorce themselves, sell their stock, do all that sort of thing. But there are several that you have to do that. Somewhere in here we ought to have a clause that does not abrogate any other present law that goes further than this. Which, like the...
I'm thinking of the people who work in agriculture. There's a lot of them who have regulatory powers that should be picked up in here. And many in the Department of Commerce have regulatory authority in the real estate.
That's where number 10 has to come in. You have to start with it. Pretty lame.
And going through those regulatory agencies and putting parallel language into the statute. They're not trying to pick up all state employees
here.
It, you say it's working pretty well, Tom, I think.
I've talked to Dick Saban about it, and he thinks it's working very well, and they're all very serious about it.
They've got the statements, they've got the dismissal.
Yeah, but do all the other state-regulated agency, regulatory agencies have similar provisions in their statutes?
No. He's the only one I know that does.
That's what I'm worried about, Wally.
But what I'm suggesting is that in this case, the same approach that's taken with regard to...
Yeah, okay. We'll have legislative counsel and write this down, the number of the... and see if we can make it applicable here, either in 9 or a sub under 9.
Okay, now that they even describe the household, holdings of his spouse and minor children.
That's probably where this came from. Honey, I can't get at that brother across the street. Well, if I lived in New Jersey, I'd sure be concerned about that brother across the street.
New Jersey is a bad state. Could I ask Chairman that Bill, and anybody else, I think it's important that we do list specifically the agencies.
In furtherance of that, I have a list of all the ones you may like to pick and choose from.
This is the list of all state agencies?
That's the ones that
all... No, this is the ones appointed by the government.
Gubernatorial appointments, not subject to Senate confirmation.
Well,
you don't
have
copies,
you want to circle one.
Yeah. Subject to gubernatorial approval, not subject to Senate confirmation, and not subject to gubernatorial approval or Senate confirmation. You've got three classifications. And there's a whale lot of...
Well, let's let our paid employees work on that, huh?
Well, one of the things I'd like to listen to the
you think we have a majority from the caucus?
He's paying attention
to every word. That's the thing, God.
I agree with the law.
Yeah. Okay, now is there any problem with 10?
Well, that's the one with the man.
Okay, that's the one we'll go on and take it out above then. All right. Section 5, we mentioned something about a percentage of stock or... controlling interest or something like that.
Section 5.
On page
4.
Jack, I think, unless you have an objection, I'll close this hearing at 10 o'clock.
I don't have any objection at all.
I think we're losing some of our people.
Mr. Chairman, Bill, something happened to this. Section 5.
Doesn't ring right, does it?
But something happened to us at the time. You have a copy of your original. We had that's basically what we had. Only our definition of business with which it was associated with was different. And at that time, we had a $1,000. Stock value included as the business which you are associated with. So it would cover people only with the substantial, and we felt $1,000 stock investment was substantial.
The language of the thing is the same as the old
age. Can't we take that out? Don't we get at it by, we don't get at it disclosed. Yes, we do. We get at it.
Get it.
If you turn over the three choices that are on page 10, don't we get it at it that way, even to an elected public official? In other words, public officials will do one of the following: if it's a legislative member, if it's a judge or district attorney, or other public officials, notify them. Do we get at it that way? Mr. Chairman, I think we might be able to take out section 5 rather than. I think.
Yeah, I think we're doing the same thing there.
Yeah, I think we're
what
picking
page
it up.
10?
10. I know, section 10.
Section
10.
Section 10.
On page 10.
So whatever what we're trying to do here is say that...
I think that adequately provides for that.
Let's take it out.
Yeah, I think that's...
Take a look at it.
Okay, take Section 5 out. Now, what about the one part unless expressly provided by the law? Well, you're all right, though. Look at Section 10. I think you'll find out that... But I'm thinking about the guy that is expressly
giving
appointed
the utility
because
commission.
Of his interest. You know, he has to have an interest to be on the board. How do you take care of him?
Well, that's what I think. We're taking that admonition out. We're allowing him to serve because of A, B, and C of Section 6 on page 2, which is creating the plumber and serving on the plumber's board and so on. Then we're giving the free choices under Section 10. If you're a legislator, you do one thing. If you're a judge, you take yourself off the case. And if you're another public official, you notify your supervisor of the nature of the conflict and request another person to be directly on the matter. Generate conflict with no supervisor and grant information for ruling the court's conflict.
That takes care of all of it. I think that takes care of all of it.
Well, I asked the question, but I think it does. But I may have missed it.
I don't think so. You said that it isn't a conflict to serve on something that regulates the business you're involved in. And at the same time, you're saying when you do have a direct conflict, you have to report it. So this is simply this actually negates the sub 6 paragraph A, section 2, free determination of the definition. So it'd be better out.
Well, just so we don't get the governor thinking that he has to remove all the plumbers from the plumbers.
No, because we're leaving in the one that we kind of already explained, but the fact that it's not a conflict of interest, having the membership of particular residents in this occupation, part of the law is correct for the open job. That's
okay, we got it there. Okay, okay, that'll cover. Okay.
Chairman,
is that enough? So we don't have the plumber looking like.
Okay, let's get legislative counsel to see if we can take 5 out because of these three and then bring up the specific point of plumbers serving on the plumbers board, barbers on the barber board, foresters on the state board of foresters. This sort of thing.
In other words,
can we take 5 out, and if we do, is the Section 10 cover it?
Oh, I see. So this would, okay.
Yeah, it's just a safeguard that's concerned by. Okay.
In other words, you want to say in Section 10.
Put 5 in Section 10 some way, only in a little better word. Yeah, can we eliminate 5 altogether without jeopardizing the fact that barbers can serve on the barber board?
I don't think you have, as long as you've gotten as far as it's not a conflict of interest to be a barber on the barber board. As long as that's in your definition of conflict of interest.
Actually,
what follows is that is only once that barber gets going to get a substantial and private pecuniary interest out of his action on the barber board.
I think we take care of that in 2. Business means any corporation, Yak Act, that treats all, or 3, that treats all barbers the same, or all plumbers the same, or all foresters the same.
I just want to be sure that somebody who's giving power to the crime is not going to have someone who takes a finger at them.
Yeah.
Here in the office, might be able to legally serve, but there's a question there.
Okay, you understand what we want in that whole area.
Bob, we've got one more problem. You brought up a very good example of the forester on the forestry board. Now, he's president of a lumber company. On the forestry board because he knows his business. Now they make a ruling that affects only one watershed or one something small, or anything. But it's not for the whole industry. So you get my point there.
Exactly.
I know that's what Bob's telling you, but I think it's a better illustration than the farmer.
In that case, he'd have to. In that case, if the bill is written out, he would have to exempt himself from making that decision.
Where is that?
board to...
He'd have to declare it, and if there was nobody, he did not have a superior. In that case, it was aimed at a particular watershed, particular problem, and his company that he's president of would, in fact, benefit greater than other members of the industry.
Many of our timber laws are separate. They have five separate timber taxes. We have it regionalized very broadly. So, I just put the thought in mind. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, let's ask him specifically about something like that. Okay, my next mark was on page 5A.
Well, there's no compensation to be paid to any person as far as I'm saying if they fail to do so, nor is the authorized to perform any duties of his office. Nor is the authorized to perform any duties of his office. I really don't know what to do.
Where are you?
Well, on page 5, up above.
Oh.
Sub 4. I think we ought to get rid of the last part of the nor is he authorized to perform any duties of his office. The common cause bill is the last amendment of 18 does not have that language in it. And as far as the elected officials are concerned, I don't think we can do it. I don't see the reason for it.
So you want to take from nor on and cross that out?
Right. Yes, yeah. You get a tremendous possibility of people claiming the act for involvement.
Yeah, nor is he authorized to perform any duties of office. 4 or 5.
Well, everybody in agreement to take that out?
They
got nor is he authorized
to perform any of the duties of his office. No compensation shall be paid to any person required to file a statement of economic interest who fails to do so.
Period.
Okay, down to A. Any statement of interest?
Before you,
okay.
Sub 3 is 10 days. I don't think that's long. Your subcommittee is 3, since it ought to be
30.
Right.
30?
30.
Is that agreeable?
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
The only thing that we look for, which I think would be a good help, is that it be available for confirmation by the Senate. Very helpful to have, though, but I expect in most cases 30 days
will cause the same kind of problem. It says now, after the date is 1 to 6 effective, the
date effective
is.
Well,
the
reviewing committee could certainly say we'd like to
see. Yeah, I think
it
is.
Yeah, I think
it is. We'll do that in the Senate without that problem.
Yes, Tom.
Go ahead, Tom.
So I understand that you, in pursuance of what we're talking about a little while ago, that you announced that they all good material employees, he shall file statements to the economic interest. Leave out these other people.
Oh, yeah. We have all legislative employees and all employees of the state regulatory agencies. It depends how we. I feel like we need the legislators in there, but I realize that's some extra work. The question of employees of the state regulatory, this is on 3,
yeah.
30 days. All employees of the state regulatory agency, I think.
Now, we're going to come up with a better situation on state regulatory employees. All we're worried about now is all legislative employees.
Yeah, and I can still leave that in, but I realize there's some. We could go to the common cause.
Well, that's fine. Would this cover appointments made by directors? Some directors appoint administrators.
By our, in the back two pages of material that Grant distributed shows all the things the directors of Congress appoint. And these would not be included today. Well, wait a minute, we checked out.
Why not?
We picked up departmental heads. Well, departmental heads appointed by the governor.
So. All right, how about gubernatorial and commission appointed?
That would give them.
Or agency appointed.
Does Tanzer appoint some?
Yeah, Tanzer appoints some. Tanzer appoints corrections administrator. Lululemon appoints bank commissioner, corporation commissioner, insurance commissioner.
All right, how about governmental appointees?
Well, you know, all sorts of ad hoc committees are funded by others.
This does not go far enough down now.
I agree.
In that part of it.
How about...
Well, you want to use it on the department division basis?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do. Rather than say appointed by the governor, the department will have division head.
Division goes down like basis, division head of health. Whereas PAMS is a department head.
Okay.
Head of
division.
Health.
Division head. Yeah.
Division is down there just about as low as
it's
I think.
It's now called the Corporation Division of the Commerce Department. Is that what it is?
Yes, yeah, I was talking about human resources.
Yeah,
well, yeah, well Commerce is the same thing.
Can we go to the division level? Not do it. Let's do that. That's what
it does. All
department.
Department division, departmental and division heads.
Yeah. All states, members of the state board's division, appointed by the governor, and then division heads. Period.
No, department heads and division heads, both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would that be like a the head of a
bank?
Motor.
Yes.
Well, not a motor vehicle, maybe a say the white department in the division.
You're talking about the division.
No, you're misunderstanding. Fred's got the motor vehicle division and the department heads therein.
Well,
what do you think?
Like the head of the white department.
But I don't think you're called that. Don't we start with the division and their major
departments, and they have division and then sections. No way on the head of the division area and the whole division, the motor license or the motor vehicle division.
Okay. The next note I have is A under 5.
A under 5, the fiduciary relationships. We decide to leave that out.
Well, is there anything else?
Fiduciary, yeah.
Any statement of economic interest filed shall be on the file blah, blah, blah. The person filing a statement shall supply the identity by name of all offices, directorships,
and
directorships held by him or a member of his household.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Under sub 5 in section 7, do we have some kind of a limit there, like the filing of the deadline, and how
well, there is a deadline in the bill, isn't there?
15 days after the filing deadline of the statewide primary.
I would say in accordance with the dash.
All right.
In other words, if failed to file a statement of economic interest in accordance with the dash, it should not be placed in the ballot.
Okay, now we struck judiciary relationships in that A under 8. The identity by name of all offices and directorships held by him or a member of his household.
Mr. Chairman, did you define household here?
We're getting a better definition going back into paragraph 3, as I recall. We're hoping.
So then here, when we read the B1D definition, which is spouse, minor children, living in the house, and definition of custodian, and that last section, which is YS.
Jesus. Do we have to put down all our... Everybody has to put down any house that he's got a... he's living in? Is that what that says in B?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Chairman, what we anticipate on this would be nothing more than photocopy of your deed or deed appended to your form.
Just hope that you don't hold the representative in time willing to help.
Yes.
First National
Bank.
Director in there.
I got a 10th interest in a 5,000 acre ranch. That's the same.
Whole description.
Yep.
Why not just describe it?
How do you mean describe it?
Why use a legal description? By name or legal description, that's what I would use this long.
Well, I don't care how it's done. The problem with the legal description is, are you going to put it in the township? Or?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
Well, it seems to me.
Call the Otis Ranch. And outside of Redmond. But,
well, all that we would ask you to do is to photocopy the deed. Pay an hour and a half to get it into
the hell of it is in the partnership. There's 10 partners. And so I'm indirectly related to all that. How are you getting this to widespread? It's absolutely incomprehensible. I know what you're after. Everybody knows what you're after. But I think it ought to have some place where you can prove the fellow did benefit in some way rather than have all the mass of criteria that and legal description and everything else. All somebody can take care of it. It changes as Norma said daily. It is getting a ponderous mess that nobody ever could find. If he does wrong, let's get a law of the inclusion. But all this.
Yeah, but you got to say what's wrong.
Yes, but to give the legal description.
Who said what's wrong?
He benefits by it if you can prove it. I just think you'll have a whole building full of stuff.
Wasn't that probably put in there when you were going to do counties and cities?
Well, that's clearly where it was. It's one of the things that survived throughout. There was an exception one time you didn't have to go down to your home, your residence. But that, I was persuaded that that's important to the chair of the
I'm sure you won't mind this. I'd like to ask you a personal question, Chair. Considering your investments and so on, how often, if you were to meet the requirements to deal with as it seems to go, and indicate true picture of your financial picture, how often would you have to file a report?
We have six parts of the girls have two inspecting me, six of them. Two trusts and two they all their money themselves, they're short term trusts. But in any event we have annual statements, annual financial complete statements. And I show this on my statement. I show my cost. And then as I have said repeatedly, went off to file a biography.
You have repeatedly.
Okay. Yeah. And for instance, I've just been appointed to the to the board of directors or trust directors of the Warrensing Forest Products Industry. I wanted that appointment. And out of the other thing, I'm going to get out of Jefferson Plywood, and I'm free to do that. I've been appointing them for a long time. I, of course, like the things that the Indians do, but I could have very well pushed the Chute River bill last time hard to gain favor. No monetary interest at all. No economic relationship, but I got my directorship.
But then,
how are you going to stop that?
Well, considering your whole background and everything, I know the situation changes.
Mm-hmm.
How often during 1 year would your situation change so that drastically enough that
well, I have most of my holdings in stock,
but and that
changes every day, every hour. But I get a report brought up to date that is appraisal showing the number of shares in stock, the end of the month price, and the total amount of money. I get that monthly.
Chairman, I think frankly. odd enough, people who mind their financial affairs very carefully, I'm sure Sam does, actually in a better position to comply with this law. Those of us that have to go out and do the research initially to comply with it.
I don't think
it's required you to do it every day.
I wasn't thinking of this paragraph as much in relation to Sam as them to Harvey Akerson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my point is that and this is something we discussed in our subcommittee, because Sam did come forward. I'm not sure the way this is written, is ever going to have a picture, really, of the situation. And this is what I'm wondering if we're considering. Like he says, I can see, and we're certainly not wealthy, but I can see the way this is. I'm just going to turn it over to my accountant and they go to work on it.
For instance, you have an apartment out here, yeah, and why couldn't you just say an apartment house, a duplex, or whatever it is, on Pine and Clement? Everybody knows what it is.
Or give the address.
And your financial statement shows the cost, and anybody can get a market value that wants to do it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my judgment was that rather than trying to figure out what's frequently called the common name or an address, because Route 2 Fox or the oldest farm is a little difficult to describe. It may become important, but I have no objection. I left the legal description when you couple it with a photocopy of an existing deed was a good solution. But apparently it isn't, so I have no objection to broaden that to include, I don't remember what.
Just a description without legal.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you want to use a photocopy of the deed, which is what I would do, because I'm not in that business, then it would be a lot easier for me just to send a photocopy of the deed.
The only question I wonder, do you want to leave it in?
Well, I grant you, Mr. Chairman, you asked a very important question. That was, when this was originally, it became extremely important in the real area of the county and city.
The local level.
Yeah, I grant you that. That's where it's extremely important. When that's covering those, I don't know.
Do you have a feeling on it?
I haven't thought of it separate from the county.
As far as the public information is concerned, I think there's still some value for the legislators.
I would think people in the highway department, some of those would be very interesting to see.
Okay.
You said what was on.
Next week, I think we'll go back to our subcommittees because we've got to get that lobbying bill out, and we have to get this bill out, and I just feel that we're going to get more done.
Do you want us to go ahead and finish this up?
No, we're going to quit it.
No,
yeah.
I know that. But
yeah, I
want
you to,
want us
yeah.
to go ahead and finish it up.
We really need, I think, one that I am most troubled by is the one that Ed brought up, and that's coming up to, and I sure appreciate it. I think it's critical to start by naming the income. If every service agent attendant or has to list all the sales, the seats, or lawyers, or doctors, or patients, or chefs.
I think that goes down. Can we put a figure in there? Would that help that?
I don't think so. I think the answer, really, I think, is to have the federal court that you start with income from a partnership of Jones and Smith Associated Oil Leaders.
I write that sentence, income by source or category, whether or not taxable, is first received by him or a member of his household during the preceding year, income by source or category.
Well,
could you do this to get away from this question? You still have clients and customers. What you could do would be to say the source by name of any income from any business with which he's associated, whether or not taxable.
No,
that you don't mean by name, you mean by category or something like that.
Category, maybe.
Source by category.
But if you say by with he's associated,
yeah, then you
wouldn't be finding the nigger. then you wouldn't be...
Come on, you said it.
Then you wouldn't find out what we're trying to find out of any malfeasance.
We ain't had no wood pile in the court against
them. I realize that. Thank you.
We sure have not.
Moving on, Mr. Chairman. Well, I don't
want
to...
Strike
that. It doesn't have to be changed.
Loretta.
Your asset is a category or a general amount other than the name of the individual. Another way, the way it was done...
Well, you don't mean the income in dollars and cents.
No, we're just talking about cents.
The source of any income by category, whether or not taxable, is what you're saying.
I don't mean by dollars and cents.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, would it be now, I wanted to ask him just to file his income, personal income tax return?
Yes.
Any untaxed income?
Yes, it would be, because I don't want every Tom, Dick, and Harry... and Blanche and Bill are going through my income taxes.
Okay. Of course, you're going to file it when I'm done. With Blanche. Blanche got a big job. Categories or the sources of income, rather than say general categories or sources of income.
That's what we're trying to get at anyway.
Categories or sources of
general categories or sources.
Get rid of the word in. Just say general
category,
sources of
income,
whether or not that.
Yeah. That's good.
Be a general category.
Well, as long as we're there, let's finish up D. It is a specific amount.
Well, it's an excess.
Okay. That's okay. Yeah. Yeah. But George's problem with that is his mother won't tell him to whom she owes money or who owes her.
Well, he's a member of his immediate household.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
My concern about this section in the subcommittee was that, like, you take a farmer who might owe $80,000 in sheep, so I don't know if that's a relevant argument now. As long as we don't have to file the $80,000, if you take a farmer that, you know, he might have all of those debts in terms of equipment, and really, as those who know anything about agriculture, it's no problem. That's a normal thing here. Or he might have a big loan for your bank. As long as you don't have to indicate that you owe $80,000, well, I don't see a problem.
All he has to say is Western Machinery at 8%. Let it go with that.
What if you... Would this be helpful to an attorney who wanted to prove that the guy owed the debt or that he might later want to renege on?
I'm concerned that by having a figure in there, the Secretary of State is going to interpret that. You should put the amount, and I think your minutes should clearly indicate that that's not a.
Well, we don't. The name of each creditor to whom he or a member of his household, and there's that word again, owes or has owed during the preceding year in excess of $2,000 in the interest rate. Why would he interpret that as you're having to say $8,254.89?
Just
want
to be sure he does. Clearly indicates that he does not stand the amount needed to be shown.
Thank you. do you want to amend it, George? You think it's... I think that's fine, so that it is on the tape that we didn't attend. Okay, make, add a budget note.
Yeah, add a budget.
Okay, I think we'll adjourn the meeting. We'll meet the subcommittees next week. The Senate will take this up again. We'll go to lobby.
We'll meet at lunchtime. We'll set the date, but I think we could take a couple of lunches.
We are going to have an attorney from the project.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see if we can't get these two bills out. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for letting me sit in.
Glad to have you, Sam.
Yeah. I don't object to that.
You need a change in your... Is that what you're saying?
Anytime...